B-Pod Studios.
I'm here to show the world. I'm here to show the world.
The DZ Comedy Tour comes to Kowloon on Sunday night, March 24th at 6 p.m. It's the night before Monday Night Raw here at the TD Garden in Boston. Limited VIP meet and greets, stand-up comedy, live Q&A. Call the box office between noon and 10 p.m. It's 781-484-6002 to get your tickets. And the host of the event, Dolph Ziggler, joins Mike and I. Should I call you Dolph Ziggler? Is that okay?
I don't think anyone should ever call me. When you text me, you can refer to me as Dolph. That's fine. Yeah.
Excellent. I want to start with one. I want to start with one kind of newsy question for you. Are you under
Browns?
Go Browns.
Go Browns. Yeah.
We will definitely get to Odell Beckham. Absolutely. Are you under contract at WWE right now?
Technically, I am. Yes. It's weird because for the last 2 years I've had a somewhat of a handshake agreement, kind of behind closed doors deal with WWE. So I've been able to do a lot of things on my own, not at WWE, just because of the relationship we've had for the last 14 years. So I have a bit of a handshake agreement right now, and we'll know some more details in the coming months.
Excellent, because I want to see you wrestle, and I enjoy seeing you wrestle, so I'm glad that you still have a contract with a sports entertainment wrestling company. So that is a good thing. I want to ask you a little inside baseball question. This popped into my head because you did photo shoot on the WWE Network recently, or at least it aired recently. Your Money in the Bank cash-in was one of the loudest crowd reactions in sports entertainment wrestling history. In the case of Seth Rollins, he had once told me that he found out an hour before it happened that he was cashing in. When did you find out you were cashing in and winning the WWE World Heavyweight Championship?
Before I answer directly, I'll answer politically, because it is such a weird business that when you think you're wrestling someone that day and you find out a couple hours later it's different, and then an hour later it's different, and then your matches change and things change so much in those days. So I was told I was doing something special that day, but nothing much more. And then even then, sometimes when you have an important match or a big segment on the show, it gets cut before the show. So I was just told to stand by for the most part, be ready to go because we might do something with me. And I went, okay, I assumed it would be cashing in, but also we do things live. There's one take. There's no switching around. And I've been in matches where I've been told, hey, we're switching this, do this, or you've added minutes, or you switch things around. So I was ready. In this business, you know, to go nothing. You don't think anything's happening until it actually happens. So I was ready to go, but didn't know what was going on. But I was very aware that if I was cashing in, it would be in the world title against the world champion. So I watched that match very closely and was right by Gorilla waiting.
Because one of the things that they showed in photo shoot was you watching the WrestleMania match between Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger, and the crowd chanting for Dolph, and then the next night they were chanting for you again, and you standing by, and the focus of you marching to that ring and cashing in, you were all business, absolutely all business, and it's one of the great cash-ins. It might be the greatest cash-in of all time. So credit to you and credit to the fans for being there with you for that moment.
It's pretty crazy. That's two questions I'd like to address. That's pretty great. Because me, the night before at Mania, I was also sitting by, waiting, just in case they said, hey, grab Dolph, we're going with this, because we do fly by the seat of our pants. And I did hear those reactions where during a world title match that I wasn't involved, 75,000 people were chanting my name. And I go, man, maybe Vince is going to say, let's go for it right here. You know, so that's why I stayed. And I was like a little disappointed when nothing happened. But the next night, it was amazing. That went down. And it was, what's so cool about it to me was I wasn't one of those hand-picked guys like where the Shield showed up for 2 years and beat everybody up and won and talked about it. I was a guy who rarely talked and usually lost and was a bad guy.
Right.
So that's why I count mine as a little bit more special, because I wasn't supposed to be champion. I wasn't groomed for 2 years to be champion. I was supposed to not be the champion, and that's why I love it.
So, Dolph, on the side of outside of the ring, you've
done a whole new career, more or less, with the comedy. And this will be your third time at the Kowloon in Boston. I know you've played or performed in Boston before and throughout the country as well. But what made you want to get into the stand-up act?
It's just like sports entertainment, to where there's an improv factor. There's everyone's looking at you. You're entertaining everyone. You have some factor that other people in life sometimes don't have. And, you know, I need to be on stage. I need to be constantly on. Ask all of my ex-girlfriends. I'm always on. So I need, a way to be able to do that. And I've just been studying, as much as I was a fan of wrestling when I was 5 years old and grew up watching Saturday Night's Main Events, I was also on those other Saturday nights watching Saturday Night Live and loved comedy. Loved George Carlin even as a kid. Didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but I saw him getting reactions. I loved Don Rickles. So I've been writing for about 15 years and filling up notebooks and every day forcing myself to write for an hour for about the last 5 years. And I've just been working and working and working. And this isn't I was an attitude era guy and I'm going to come tell you some cool stories about how we all used to get drunk and, you know, make millions of dollars every year. But it's me doing actual stand-up comedy about things in my life that bother me, like old people at the gym with all their black hair dye pulled into the handicap spots, gym-timidating me all day long, stuff like that, real-life stuff that happens. And it gets me writing and forces me to do it. And I've just been a fan and a student of comedy. And the really cool part is, to tie into wrestling and Kowloon, that tradition, when I first got called up to the main roster 13 years ago, Chavo Guerrero told me, Kowloon, this cool restaurant where we can go eat after hours and not be bothered. This place is so great, and there's such a tradition here. He goes, and if they love wrestlers, and we love them. And he goes, it's something we haven't screwed up yet. And we haven't screwed it up yet. No one fought and broke any tables or anything. And it started where that's one of the first things I learned about on the road was Kowloon's tie into wrestling, and I just love being in that area. And now I've done that show, going on the third time, because Andy and everyone there is just so special and so great. We look forward to it all the time. Plus, the food's great.
Yes, it's great food.
We certainly love what you've done there, and we certainly love the Kowloon, too.
Yeah, can't wait to see you next Sunday on March the 24th. Dolph, I know you mentioned quite a few of your favorite comedians, but if you could potentially meet one comedian or maybe even work with one that you never have had the privilege of doing, who would that be?
That's just pretty nuts, man. I've been very lucky to meet some people that I love, like Bill Burr, Nick Swartzen, a couple of people, just for a second, but I don't know, man. Since I was a kid, I was a Rodney Dangerfield fan, and I know it's a little bit different than now. And I read his books and everything, and not just the one-liners, like the fact that he was an aluminum siding salesman until he was 40 years old, and then became Rodney Dangerfield. And I just think that's such a great story because he was so great at what he did, and he kind of had a second career and really made something of himself. And I think that's, you know, everyone remembers him because of how great he was. So I think it'd be pretty cool to hang out with Rodney. Maybe go reenact some Caddyshack. I'll hold his clubs while he hits the ball.
Nice.
Is there some aspirations for you to go deeper into the Hollywood movie area of your career?
Yeah, absolutely. 2 years ago, I got an apartment in L.A. With WWE, I don't ever want to take time off. I don't ever want to miss shows. So anytime I'm doing anything, most of these shows are in between WWE loops. The last 4 years, I probably missed 3 days of work or something. So I love the fact that I can do both right now because I don't like sitting at home. But I've been out to L.A. just, you know, taking auditions, doing different things, and most importantly, doing some stand-up comedy and improv with my brother and all these different shows that we do, and just getting better, getting the reps in. And, of course, my brother writes a bunch of different stuff, books, movies, and pilots. And, hell yeah, I'd like to be the star of one of those one day, but I want to be awesome at it. I don't want to just, like, say, oh, my friends tell me I'm funny or handsome, I'll just go just be an actor now. I want to put the time in because just like with wrestling, you know, it's about the reps and getting awesome at it.
You know, Dolph, you're a talented guy, obviously outside the ring, but in the ring, I think you're one of the top 10 performers I've ever seen perform in the ring. And I would like to hear who you would like to have as a dream match opponent at WrestleMania down the line.
It would have been a really cool answer if I would have said Kofi Kingston anytime before three weeks ago.
Because, Kofi Mania.
The fans, yeah, exactly. The fans know what he can do. I know what we can do. We got a best out of 500 series for about 5 years ago, and I know how good he is. and I know what matches we can have, and I know what we can do if there's a story there. For years, we never had any story. We were just like, hey, there's two guys who'll have a good match, and they put us out there a bunch. But knowing that we now have that invested time, and now the world is, myself included, catching Kofi Mania, because I think the cool thing about that is the locker room is behind Kofi as much as the fans are, if not more, because we know what he's done over the years. So I would think that'd be pretty awesome if it was me versus Kofi. And me. Of course, I'd be the bad guy because, you know, it's you know, who you are in real life really matches up better at WWE. But I would love to see him come within an inch of becoming world champion and screw him out of it and then have us fight for it or something. But
that'd be
pretty amazing. That or 1997 Shawn Michaels, to see if he can hang with me.
Oh, yes. I love that. That's a great one. That's an all-time one. Now, bring it on. Hey, real quick, you know, you talked about the Browns before at the very beginning. I do have to ask you the million-dollar question. Are the Browns going to beat the Patriots this year, or are the Patriots going to take them down here in Foxborough?
Hey, don't you guys, you know, when does it get boring for you guys? Does it ever happen? Is it weird that in some timeline, some Twilight Zone timeline, we're the Patriots and you guys are the Browns, and you're like, hey, man, this kind of sucks. Let's switch roles? Because for years, we've all been behind the Browns, and we still are.
Right.
And every once in a while, we get a big win on a team that's going to go win the Super Bowl or, you know, be in the playoffs, but then go 1-15. So I think it's about time. Belichick owes us. When he was our coach, we did crappy.
That's true.
You guys are like 902. So I feel like Boston, Belichick, you guys all owe us one.
But, Dolph, I would tell you that if the Browns hadn't become the Ravens, Belichick's program was on pace to do something special there. I mean, if you look at the coaching tree of Saban, amongst others, he was going to do something with that Cleveland Browns franchise, and then the owner picked up and moved the team away. So,
more importantly, Art Modell told us in a press conference the day before, guys, I'm not taking the team away. Don't worry. And then the next day we woke up to see dust with a tire smoking and him leaving the town.
Yep.
So, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I could have been a 2-year-long reigning world heavyweight champion, but I wasn't. So
you should have been.
You should have been. Should have been three. Well, Dolph, I'll tell you this. If the Browns want to see a taste of gold, Tom Brady can flash up his fingers, no problem, all right?
I wish we had more of a rivalry. I'd hate you guys. I just hate Pittsburgh, so we're okay.
I'm with you there.
Dolph, there's some rumor and innuendo that the Browns and the Patriots might be the Sunday night game to open up the season, so that'll be here in Foxborough.
How great would that be? The first thing I think of all the time is every year the schedule comes out, the Miz and myself go, all right, when's the Thursday night game? Because we know we can go to that game because we work Sundays and Mondays.
Oh, right.
But if you guys open the show, of course you'd be the host. So that would add a little bit to the line and the drama of the underdog beating you guys in the first week of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I want to close with this question because this question comes from a female friend of ours, and she wants to know, why is your hair always on point?
because I wear great wigs. The last thing I think of before I go out is my hair. No joke. I sit there and I sit and formulate a game plan. I make sure I'm getting my push-ups in, getting warmed up, just like I was in college for wrestling matches. But I drench my hair because otherwise it becomes a giant Brillo pad and is very distracting if it looks like a giant dandelion walking around. So I make sure to soak my hair down so it tends to look fantastic. But there's a bunch of pictures out there where it looks like I did the old Tom and Jerry ate a shotgun and then my hair blew backwards. So.
The Dolph Ziggler, the DZ Comedy Tour, comes to Kowloon Sunday night, March 24th at 6 p.m. It's the Monday before Raw at the TD Garden. VIP meet and greets, Dolph stand-up comedy, live question and answer. Call the box office at 781-484-6002 between noon and 10 p.m. You actually talk to a real person when you buy your tickets there at the Kowloon. It's old-fashioned. Dolph Ziggler, thank you so much for your time, and Mike and I will see you at the Kowloon on Sunday the 24th.
Sounds fantastic. The night before Raw's in Boston. It's going to be a great time. I'll see you guys there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.